I'm going to speak a little bit this morning about a concept that is very simple, but I trust God wants to work something in our hearts. And it's the biggest revelation that Jesus came to bring. And Jesus came to reveal something to us that was foreign to the Jews, that was foreign to the culture that he was living in. We need to understand that when Jesus lived, and the Jews especially, they were very religious. They were very focusing on a lot of rules and a lot of regulations, and you know, they were even too afraid to name the name of God in full. They would like say just half of God's name, because they had such a reverence for God. They had such a idea that, you know, God is up there, we've got the fear of God, we understand that we're humans, but God is, you know, God is in control. He's like almighty. And then Jesus brought a concept that challenged the whole idea of having a relationship with this God. And he said, when the disciples asked him, he said, how should we pray? And he said, well, our Father. That's how he started. And Pastor Fred has been busy, and we've been busy with this whole idea of a closed circle, the family of God, really coming together in a place where we understand God's heart, and where God wants us to knit together in relationship. God does not want us to be lone rangers out there. And when you look at the world today, everybody's looking for a community to belong to. Everybody's looking for somewhere that they can feel like, wow, this is where I am accepted, where I am affirmed, where somebody recognizes the calling and the destiny on my life and for us together as a family. And it is so important that this morning we're going to just be very short, but that we understand that the biggest revelation is very simply that God is a father. And if you understand that word, a father, and if I understand God's heart for us, how he feels, then it's amazing how we begin to relate to God. Because he's not like this, I always thought he's like this old man with a stick up there and with lightning, and he strikes you with lightning, you know. He wants to sort of, you know. At the moment when there's always this right and this wrong. I don't know if some of you grew up, but especially Afrikaners, we grow up in this thing like, whoa, you know, God is really sin conscious, and he's really like, whoa, out there to just nail me when I'm wrong, you know. But right at the beginning, and all most of the faiths actually come from a man that God intervened with, and God came to connect with this man when this man was not looking for him. It's called a man called Abraham, okay? And in Genesis chapter 12, it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay, what a promise, you know. Abraham is this man, he's an idolater, and it's not this like really weird place that he came from. He just had a weird name. It was called Ur, you know. It's like Ur, you know. Don't call your son's name Ur. It's not going to go, you know. But Ur of the Chaldeans. It was like this weird place, this weird name. But it was a very cosmopolitan city, and there were lots of stuff happening. It was in Mesopotamia, and it was up there in the north. And there was this man, Abram, and there were lots of things happening. All the trade, all the stuff was happening in that city. And so it was very lots of things, you know. And so here God comes to this man, because when they excavated and they looked at this city that they found years later, they realized that there were lots of rituals and especially human sacrifices and lots of things that were happening, because they had these mass graves that they found and they dug up in this city called Ur, where Abram came from. And so Abram was in the city, and he was like relating to lots of stuff, and there were lots of things happening. And so God comes to him, and the scripture doesn't say why God chooses Abram, but he just comes to Abram and he says to Abram, Abram, we're going to go somewhere. But you have to get out of your family. You have to get out of the place where you are, because when you get out, we're going to go somewhere. And then something is going to happen. I am going to bless you. But more than that, I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And more than that, I'm not just going to make your name great, but I am going to make you a blessing. And so Abraham packs his little stuff, and he goes on this mission. And it's like somebody wakes up early in the morning and comes to you, your family member, and say, look here, we're going somewhere, and it's going to be great. Just get in the car. We're going to go somewhere. pack all your stuff, here we're going. Everything you have, just pack it, let's go. And then most of us would say, no. Where are we going? Are you crazy? I'm comfortable here. This is a great place to be. This is like lekker, you know. This is like, cool, let's stay right here because, you know, I've been used to it and we've grown up here. Now you tell me that, you know, you're going to make my name great, all this stuff, great promises, but it's really comfortable where I am. So, yeah, tell me where are we going? But the amazing thing when God comes to us, when God tells us to go somewhere, he doesn't give us details, he doesn't give us, because the reason very simply is because we're going to mess it up. Would you agree with me? Because, you know, so God says, pack your car, get everything that you, all your prized possessions, get it in the car, we're going to drive. But I'm not going to tell you where to. Let's just go. Okay. God, who are you? Yeah. Because imagine, Abraham is doing this pagan worship, all this other stuff, and now this God comes to him. And scripture doesn't give us all the detail, but I can just imagine how he had to like think about all this stuff. Where are we going and what are we doing and how long is it going to take, and give me a detailed plan of how this thing should work out for the next 3 years and 5 years, and where we're going to settle, what house did you prepare, all that stuff, you know, especially if we're a bit of a control freak. And so this is what happened here. God calls Abraham to go, and then he says something right at the end. He says, Abraham, and I just want to say on the side here, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that promise today is very simple. Do you know what? You and I are sitting here because of that covenant that God made with Abraham that day when he told him what's going to happen. How many families are represented here? Many. How many all across the world? It's very simply because of a promise. Because of something God said to a man that was trapped in his area, in his culture, in his way of thinking, and God said to him, move out. Get out of the land. Because Abraham, I cannot bless you where you are because you're too comfortable and you love and you're in control of your situation and of your life. So just start moving. And then we see the story unfolding of the father of faith. The father, and I love what it says in Hebrews. You must go and read in Hebrews about Abraham. It says that an Abraham was looking for a house that had a real foundation. A city with walls. Abram was looking for something because he understood with God that where he was, all the comfort, all the stuff was not going to please him, and it's not why he's been made. Now, most of you think, well, he's talking about missions. So obviously, this is now a pep talk to go on missions. This is not a pep talk to go on missions, to go to the other nation. It's very simply a challenge to understand God's heart. Because if you understand something of God's heart for the nations, and you begin to say to him, Lord, I wanna get to your heart. It's like all the parents here. If you've got kids and somebody blesses your kids, they get straight to your heart. If somebody messes with your kids, stay away. Yeah. If there's like somebody, I've got, and especially if you've got like girls, I've got two girls and a boy. If somebody just looks like funny at one of my girls, I will lose my salvation right there on the spot. I will hurt him, damage, and repent later. He will not be able to look again. Everyone's thinking like, you know. But there's something that just wants to like, oh, yeah. Something that wants to stand up and say, you mess with my kids and I am going to mess with you. Yeah. It's as simple as there's something in a father's heart that is revealed. There's something in a father's heart that makes a father's heart protective and providing. And it's just, man, it comes naturally to us. God has made us that way. That's why, you know, every Saturday there's like, 30 people going for a little rubber thing all the time, you know, and then they kick it and they run all over the place, or there's this little round thing and they kick it all. And then you think, if I was a person from outer space, you know, there isn't aliens, it's just demons, but if I was from outer space and I would fly in and I would not know the human race living on the earth, and I would come and land there in Newlands Rugby Stadium or in a soccer stadium, and I would not know what's going on and what this thing is about. And I see these people kicking a little thing, running after a little round leather thing, you know, and the thousands of people, whoa, you know, people getting excited, and you think, what on earth? These people are cuckoos, you know. They, and now everybody all over the world is watching it, or some other person hitting a little white ball all over the place into the bushes like some of us do, you know, and then trying to get it into this little hole at the back there. Why don't they just walk up and throw the thing in the little, you know? Now, have you ever thought about it? We're actually crazy. The stuff that we support is like crazy as the human race, you know? It's like, and then we go, suck up, yes, you know, my team has won. It's like, you were there. You played the game, you know? And, you know, don't mess with the game, you know? But it's amazing how these things work. If you come from outer space, you would think like, whoa, these people are really crazy, you know? They think they're so sophisticated, but they, you know, they we're not even talking about all this other, what is it, croquis? What's the thing that they hit between the, tuff, you know? Weird stuff, you know. Some sports I can't figure out. You know, the most dangerous sport is bowls. Most people die on the bowling court. Very dangerous, very dangerous, you know. The point I'm trying to make is like there's something that wants us to conquer. There's something that wants us to protect. There's something that wants us to go out there and fight for people. And there's this fighting thing, especially the men, that, you know, that God has made us. He's made us in that way. That's why I don't, and I'm going to say this, it's going to be very tense, but I don't actually believe especially men must retire. Oh, amen. Can the women say amen? And then the men say, hey, women, okay? Because I've seen it with my parents. You know, my dad is retired, but he's like not retired. He's all over the place. You know, he's like going for a 3-month trip now. Him and my mother, they're going up to all over the South Africa, 3 months, you know, and then they're traveling here and they're doing all this stuff. But then I see some of his friends, they sit at home and they literally die because they have got nothing to do. There's no purpose. And especially in our Western cultures, what we do is we take the old people and we put them in old age homes and we say, oh, you know, just go and die there. Well, all that wisdom, all that ability, all that stuff, all that knowledge. And there's actually a curse on our land. There's a curse on our society because we shift out those people that really know stuff, that can really teach the younger people some stuff. So I want to say to the younger people here, don't ever look at older people and say, oh man, yes, we're me, right? Just like, that's disrespectful. And God will not honor you. God will not bless you because Malachi says it, that the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children and the children to the fathers. And if that does not happen, I will strike the land with a curse. Because right at the center of what God wants in our lives and through our lives is really simply to show us that He's a father. And He showed it to Abram right at the beginning. He said, look here, you need to understand, I don't want you, Abram, to get into your little clique, into your little comfort, and then you stay there, and then you think you're like crazy cool. Very simply, I want you to go out, and we're going to go on this journey. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to need to move out of that place of comfort. So he asked obedience. It's obedience, obedience, obedience. Now, God gives us a mandate as His house. In Mark chapter 11, verse 16, He says, then He taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. The thing that Jesus said His church shall be known by is very simply, it's a house of prayer for our own comfort. No, sorry. It's a house of prayer for our own healing. No, sorry. It's a house of prayer for our own blessing. Oh, sorry. It's a house of prayer for our own comfort. No. It's a house of prayer so that God can provide us a nice job, a nice family, a nice... Is there something else you want to add? Very simply, it says, it's a house of prayer for the nations. On God's heart, He says, at the center of our heart, and I want to really encourage us, people, Christians, we need to wake up. Our nation is going to the dogs. And the Christians are just, we're playing church. while there's lawlessness breaking out in our nation. You have to pray for this nation of ours every day. Every day. If you complain of the government and you complain of the corruption and all that stuff and you don't pray, you don't have a right to say anything if you don't pray. Hello? The scripture says if you want to live peaceably, then pray for the leaders of this nation. You don't say anything about this negative about our president until you've prayed for him. We don't agree with his lifestyle, but he's still the president of our nation. And do you know what? We deserve the president of our nation because God appointed him. That's what Romans 13 says. So stop speaking negative stuff, Christians. God is waiting for us to pray. My house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations. I've got this massive world map in one of my toilets. It's amazing. Every time when I've got like peace and quiet, I'm not going to go into detail. I'm looking at the world and I'm prophesying from the white throne. Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and all that other stuns, you know. It's amazing. I sit there and I think, wow. And I say, Lord, I want to one day go there. And I want to one day go there. And Lord, I want to preach the gospel there. My greatest desire is to go to North Korea. I've been praying for 9 years already. And God is going to open a door. I just know it. North Korea. That's where I want to go. But you know, I heard a story of a lady in Kenya. She came from Kenya. She was born in Kenya. She's an American lady. And she started to pray. And the Lord said to her, stop focusing on your own needs. Stop focusing on what you want all the time. And take a nation and just start to pray for that. And she says, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for the nation of Kenya. And she started to pray for 11 years. And she had a little orphanage in America. And God started to bless that orphanage over those 11 years. And the kids just got education. Things started to happen. I think it was about 35 kids that she had there. And things just happened. And one of these kids went back to Kenya and told somebody there that he met, you know, when he was older, told the story to somebody there, and it was like 11 or 12 years later. And one day this lady, she was still busy in the orphanage, and every day she prayed for half an hour for Kenya. She said, God, I want that nation. She got a phone call. The phone call was, hello lady, I'm the president of Kenya. I want to invite you to come to my nation because there was a man here that I met that told me what you're doing in your orphanage. And I want to tell you, I want to fly over so that you can start our program, our orphanage programs, and give some wisdom. And 2 weeks later, the 72-year-old lady was sitting in the president's office in Kenya. I just love stories like that. Because that's stories that I read in the Bible, like a little man called Abraham. That was nowhere and clueless, and God just said to him, come, I want to make you a blessing. I want to bless all the families in the earth through you. I want to change lives through you. Sure. You see, in Romans 8, verse 14 to 17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Scripture says very simply, there's one thing in your life that is going to stand against, and I want you to listen very carefully, that's going to stand against the spirit of adoption. The spirit where you've got a freedom to call out Abba Father, as Papa God. Here, ek het 'n vrymoedigheid om as 'n kind na u toe te kom. You're my dad. And I you know, it's like when my kids come and they play and they, especially the youngest one, Josh, when he's now, messes the whole place and just builds stuff and goes all over the place. I just enjoy it when I see him discover things, you know. But there's a freedom for him to run to me. When I come get home in the afternoon, especially when he was younger and he had lots of dirty diapers on and stuff like that. And if I don't open up the door quick enough, he's going to hurt his nose against the door, you know. Daddy's here. And then he runs and he's like all over the show and he's like so excited. And then you know, if I don't open it up quickly enough, then there's going to be problems, you know. But I don't go like that and say, let's be dignified and sophisticated here, because I am the pastor. You're a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and please call me pastor. Okay, from now on, you're going to call me Pastor Sias. This is how it's going to work in this house. And is that your third nappy for the day? A nappy is very expensive these days. It's like $7 a nappy or $6 a nappy. If you get the cheap ones, it's R3.50. Okay. So, 4 nappies, R3.50, around about R14, R15. What did you do today to earn that money that I am paying for you to wear that nappy? Did you clean the dog's fufu on the grass? What did you do? Is your room clean? And then we go through a list of stuff whether he has earned as that little child to be picked up by me and to be embraced. No, simply, I just open the door and then he comes. Yeah? And then he tells me, like, you know, especially when they're like young, they don't even, you know, you don't even understand. They've got their own language. You know, out there and you think, and then and especially for the boys, you just give them a gun, you know, and then they're like. But very simply, one of the things that the scripture says to Romans, and Paul writes, and he says, there's a problem that I have. He says, there's not a spirit of bondage. It's called a spirit of religion. A spirit of religion makes you work by bondage and by fear and by regulations and by rules to try and be somebody or to try to be God's child. And many Christians go through all of their life and they don't have a freedom as children to come to him. They don't have a freedom to ask him for the nations. They don't have a freedom to ask him for big things. Why? Because they're still under bondage. They still have an orphan spirit. And scripture says God has sent the Holy Spirit so that he can call you out of that orphanage. I don't know if I told the story a couple of weeks ago where we were in an orphanage in DRC, and it completely blew my mind because these kids were hanging on our knees, and we picked up each one of us at like 6 kids, and the kids did not want to let go. They just hanged on to us. They were so love deprived, and we were like trying, and in the end when we had to put the kids down and walk out of this dormitory where they were, everybody was crying, including us, because the kids were just like throwing tantrums. Some of them were crying, and it was not I'm just desperate because you need to give money to the orphanage type of cry. It was like, I'm desperate for love. I'm desperate for acceptance. Would somebody just pick me up and love me? If kids go without that touch and that feel, it's like, and you know what? We've got a whole world out there full of orphans. Unfortunately, just that same spirit of the world has crept into the church. And Paul writes to them and says, look here, you've not received that spirit of an orphan, an illegitimate spirit. It feels just like the right thing, but it's a spirit of bondage. You've received another spirit. It's called the spirit of freedom, of sonship, where you can worship this Father, and there's a freedom in you to know God, to ask him like a child, to be free and just to share your heart with him. And so many people cannot do that because they're still under a spirit of bondage. Some people call it a religious spirit. I call it an orphan spirit. And an orphan spirit makes you, very simply, it makes you always have this hole inside of you where you have a desire to connect. You have a desire to be somebody else. And I'm going to say something very, not profound, but very intense, but you know what? That is why God would call homosexuality an abomination. Why? Very simply, because it's people coming together looking for the Father's heart. You know, that's the biggest problem, I believe. It's not a gene or a thing that's wrong. It's very simply, it's people that were not loved by a dad. And now they look for love from other men. Something, a need inside. But the only problem with the homosexual spirit and the orphan spirit and all that stuff is it cannot reproduce. It cannot represent the Father's heart, and therefore it will always be empty. It will always, it cannot produce the character of God and in you what God wants. Why? Because God did not make people like that. He made us to be free, to be children of God. And I want to challenge us with that, because you know what we like to do is we love rules and regulations. We love stuff. We love to do stuff, you know. We love our little formula so that we can be in control, but many times we are motivated by fear. We are motivated by fear when we come to God. And you know, this morning God wants to set us free, because He wants you to relate to Him as a father, so that when you walk into these doors, you can say, this is my Father's house. When you connect with other Christians, you can say, we've got one daddy. You can begin to ask Him. I remember when we went to Nepal a couple of years ago, the first time, you know, we were sitting together, we were eight people going to Nepal. We already booked the tickets, and there was a war going on in Nepal. It was a month before the time, and now we had a problem, because everybody said, don't go, this is too scary, you're going to die in Nepal, yeah? Because it was a Hindu country, a Hindu republic, and there was just war going on. So we sat there, and then we just didn't know. And I'll never forget one little person praying. Not that I'm so tall, but in any case, one little smaller person than me, praying and say, God, thank you that when you said, now we're all psyching ourselves up, you know, because you can be so religious in prayer. You tell God what He must do and how He must do it, but it's just because it's out of fear sometimes. It's not out of a place of rest or a place of family. It's like, oh, you know, psych yourself up because we're going to turn God's on. So we're all praying this, you know, Lord, do it. Lord, shake the nation. Lord, no. Bring, you know, break everything so that we can go there. And it's amazing how we pray, and we pray the fire of God down and all that stuff, and we go. And then this one little girl, she prayed like this. She said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are the daddy of Nepal, and you want us to go. So I pray that you make a way. Thank you that it's already done. Amen. And I was still thinking, you unspiritual. How can you pray a prayer like that? We must war, you know? And so we're like, go on, you know? And she was just standing there, I was thinking. The next day, the Lord convicted me. Do you know what? They called out a ceasefire in Nepal for 4 weeks. And it started 2 days before we would land there, and it ended 5 days after we would go out of Nepal. 1 month of ceasefire in a whole nation so that we can go and do a mission there. And I was thinking, I love it when God's plans come together. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. But then I realized it wasn't because I was fighting, it was because there was a little girl that understood God's heart. She understood that we don't need to fight and do all that stuff until we come to God and we just pray what He's already established. And there is a season of fighting, there is a season of warring. We are in one of those seasons at the moment. But it's so important that we understand His heart. And that's what Paul fights with. He says, look here, guys, don't fall for this orphan spirit thing. Because it's always going to make you come from this place where you need more. You say, God, I am unfulfilled. And then you look at other people around you and you want to get fulfillment through the people around you or through what you do or where you go. Well, Scripture says very simply, the Holy Spirit bears witness with you that you have been adopted, that you are not part of the orphanage where you need to hang on to everybody's legs and stuff. You can come into God's house and you say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're my Father. I can cry out, Abba, Father. Say, Abba, Father. Say, I did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but I received the spirit of adoption by whom I cry out, Abba, Father. I'm going to end with the scripture, and I love this about Jeremiah. You know, when God calls people to the nations, and I want to challenge us, you know, you don't need to go. There's just something in your heart that you need to understand. God wants people from every culture, every race, every group, every age. That's His family. That's His heart. I love the Chinese. I love the South Koreans, because in every nation, there's something that you can hear and discover from God, because He's made them in that way. But you know, God, from the beginning, he says to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was like a bit tense because he said, okay, God, why did you call me? Why do you think I, you know, all that stuff. Lots of excuses, like Moses had, like Abraham had, like every great man of God had lots of excuses. If you look to the natural today, there is no ability for you and me to do what God has called us to do. We don't have the ability. We don't have the capacity. Until we say to the Holy Spirit, come and take control, Lord, come and have my life. And then Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. And then he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah. I love it. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So the question, very simply, if you come to an orphan and an illegitimate child, that illegitimate child has got a massive problem, or an orphan, is the big question is always, who am I? Where do I come from? What's my family lines? What, you know, just, I spoke to a lady once and she never knew her parents and she had this intense fear inside of her. She said that one thing I want to know in my life is I want to meet my parents because they deserted me. They left me when I was 3 months old. If I can only know them, if I can only, it's almost like there was this massive hole inside of them that were unfulfilled until she could get that to meet those parents. It's a massive driving force for people that come out of that background. And it's amazing. Now God says to him, before I formed you. So the question is just very simply where we start this morning is, who formed you? Hello. Do you know that God formed you in the same way like he formed Jeremiah? Do you know that he made you? Do you know that he sanctified you? And then he appointed you, he ordained you a prophet to the nations? So God says, right from the beginning, David understood it in Psalm 2. He says, look here, ask of me for the nations as your inheritance. I want you to know my heart. And do you know what? You will never discover God's full heart until you begin to say, Lord, show me through the nations. I was talking to a guy yesterday, was before yesterday, about apartheid. And yesterday, actually. You know? How bad apartheid was, because apartheid always believed that you're part of a nation, you're a special nation, and the rest, the black and the brown people, they are going to hell because they cannot be saved and they're not intellectually up to it. They're the Gentiles. Did you know that apartheid came out of theology? Came out of the Old Testament? Here from our theology department? That was where it was formed. Super race. Same thing with Hitler, same thing with lots of stuff. Because people want to be superior. And if you want to be superior, you are always going to hurt other people in the process. I want you to listen very carefully. If you want to be superior, if you want to rise above others, pride will kick in and you are going to hurt others in the process to get where you want to go. Does it sound familiar when we look at our world, climb the corporate ladder, destroy lots of other people? Destroy your own family in the process. Neglect your family so that you can do more and have more. See, the devil knows how he's going to get you and me. It's very simply when he puts stuff in front of us that's going to make us have a certain worth and a certain identity that is formed outside of Christ. And then many people get religious, even charismatic people, because we submit to that orphan spirit. We don't come to the place where we every day say to God, God, I thank you for the freedom that I'm adopted into your family. Thank you that you knew me, that you ordained me, you sanctified me. Thank you, Lord, that I can be called a son and a daughter of God. And when you come to that place every day, there's such a freedom where the things that you do never tells you who you are, because you've already been adopted. You've come into the place of an inheritance in Christ. Very simple thing, but a very profound thing. I want all the dads in the house to stand, please. If you're a dad or you're a grandfather, I want you to stand. You know, when we look at society, and when we look at the TV, the television, then very simply, I am amazed to see how the image of the dad and the father is broken down. Every second wimp, backboneless person, they lead a, you know, a family that, what is this series? I don't even watch it, but there's a specific series that's sort of like the new family. What do they call it? The modern family. What a spill of rubbish. Yeah? Well, God calls the dad to lead and the men to take responsibility. Because if we become passive, we neglect or we give other people stuff to do that we were supposed to do. And then it breaks down the father image in the world. And that's why there's such a massive attack on your mind, dad, granddad. There's such a massive attack on the family structure today. Because the devil knows. And I want you to remain standing because I'm going to give you some stats from America. It says 63%, I don't know if you've got that, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 5 times the average of the normal. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 20 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 14 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 9 times the average. Hectic stats. More than 30% of children in South Africa grow up without a father. So the devil has got our nation right where he wants us. And you know, the moment when we don't understand God's heart and we neglect or we get discouraged in the call that we have, the family structure is broken down, and then especially in the church. And that is why churches don't go to nations anymore. Because it's become sterile. It cannot produce itself anymore. Because the father's heart is not represented. And so when we understand the closed circle and we understand all this stuff, there's one thing that Jesus came to reveal. He said, Dad, it's for you to stand up. And we're going to pray for you this morning. Even we're going to pray for you. Because we need men like you. That's got lots of passion. And even he's going on missions, and his daughter is leading the mission team. That's a man. Let's give him an applause. You see, that takes guts to submit to your daughter. But I want to honor you for that, because that's what's happening, and that's amazing. That is like profound. You're doing something very prophetic. And so for each one of you, there's something God wants you to begin to stand up for. And we're gonna pray. That's where we're going to start. For the dads in the house. Because we want to go to the nations. But men, you need to stand up. You need to pray. You need to be the ones that stand in front. Not the kids. So I want people around them. I want you just to put your hands on them. And we're going to just pray a blessing. We're going to say, you can stand up and you can put your hands over them. And we're going to pray Abraham's prayer over them. We're going to pronounce something over the dads, okay? I'm going to pray it, and we're going to pray Abraham's blessing over the dads in this house. I'm going to pray. Dad, you must say that now. People praying from Dad, get out of your country. From every need that you have of self-gratification, of self-righteousness, of the culture that binds you and holds you back from serving God, to a land that God will show you, and He will make you a great nation. He will bless you, and He will make your name great. I tell you today, you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. The Lord will bless you, and He will bless those who bless you, and He will curse those who curse you. And in you, Father, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Rise up, Father. Rise up to protect. Rise up to provide. Rise up to stand strong for others that cannot stand for themselves. Do not be discouraged, but be encouraged. Be strong and courageous, and take up the battle. Stand for those who cannot stand for themselves. We bless you. We honor you as a father in this house, as a man, as a husband, as a wife. We take authority over every weapon that is formed against these men. In Jesus' name, won't you just pray for them for a moment?